Well, before we dismiss the kids, I want to remind you that tonight is youth band, 5 o'clock. By the way, really cool thing at home, note this, and here, note this. Next Sunday, our youth band will be back on the stage, and they're going to be working our worship. So, yeah, you can give them a hand if you want. We're excited about that. But they've been practicing, and I hear they sound really, really great, as all of our groups do. And we're excited to be a part of that next week as they come and share their work with us and as we worship together. We also want to remind you before the kids go that next week youth groups start. That's 5th through 12th grade. Some people have been asking when does the younger kids start coming back. Probably is going to be in the fall because we just don't have our people coming back. A lot of our healthcare workers still aren't coming back. Some of our people that generally work with our little guys just aren't back. They're not coming back to church yet, and we don't have a team to do that right now. So we're going to go with what we got. And so youth group next week, and the Snack Shack starts next Sunday at 6:30. So kids, go ahead and go to your classes. See you later. While the kids are going, a couple things I want to make sure you have note of. One is Diana Hamblin, who has been a real faithful member of ours for the last year or two. She's in the hospital again with getting to have another stent, I believe, today, or is it tomorrow? Today. I think it's today. So she is having the stent today, and so she asked for your prayers. Also, Margaret Farrell came through her surgery well, and the last that I heard yesterday through John is that she was doing better, but still a little nauseate, and her procedure went well, and so everything there went great. So keep them in your prayers, and I know there's others. If you let us know anything that's going on with you, you can do that at home by comments, or you can do that here by letting me know today after the service. Well, we're in a series, and today's the last day for this, and the next month we're going to kind of get ready for Easter and talk a lot about things that should be talked about before we get to Easter. And we're going to talk a lot about those kinds of things. But I want to close this series up today talking about I Want to Be Like Jesus. As we review, we've talked about that we want to serve like Jesus. We've talked about we want to love like Jesus. We want to be able to not be proud, to have a good kind of pride. We talked about the fact that we want to be patient last week, and some of you resonated with that because our patience gets tested on a daily and weekly basis. And today we're going to end this series with what does it mean to be like Jesus when we talk about respect, the word respect. Aretha Franklin made that phrase very well known, and of course she was talking about the movement back then of trying to get respect and what it meant for the black person to get respect, and the black person wasn't getting much, and so she came out in a very vocal way and said that. And now today we hear that song, and we all understand about respect. We all understand that there is a lack of respect, and they understand what respect is, but oftentimes it gets kind of cloudy and diluted as we live our lives every day. We've been taking our phrases out of one chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You don't need to turn there because we're not going to be there very much today. But the 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says this: love is not rude, it is not self-seeking. And that's really what sums up what respect is. It's talking about what respect is. It's not rude, and it's not seeking things for yourself. It's being others oriented, and so that's really important as we look at that. So there's a million places I could have gone to in the Bible today to talk about respect, because the Bible does talk a lot about respect. I just mentioned three off the top of my head that just came to me. Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 19 talks a lot about how we should show respect for the elderly. And I think that's something in our society that we have put by the wayside. I think that the elderly are getting a bad rap today, because especially the last year, you know, they're getting stuck in places, in homes, that people can't see. I every week I talk to Sue Chandler, who's over here in a place where nobody can really come in yet. And I just hear her heart breaking, and it just breaks my heart to see how our older folks are. We're trying, but it's tough. It's tough to be an older person today, and it's tough to give older people respect and tend, even people who aren't put away in homes. Older people tend to be put on what I would call the shelf a little bit, and that's not something our society has taken lightly. In fact, we just now we seem to be more, and I can say this because I'm getting older, but we used to gather around the older folks, and we would listen to their stories, and we would gain much knowledge, much head knowledge as we sat and listened to the things that they talked about, and we would go and live our lives according to the mistakes that some of them have made. But we have taken them and put them aside. Many of the older generation in some cases have done that. So it's important that we do respect the elderly and what that entails. Ephesians 5 and 6 talks about that the husband should have respect and love for the husband-wife relationship. Talks oodles about that. And that's something that we use in wedding ceremonies. It's something we talk a lot about, how much respect is so important, because for men, that's the biggest thing that we want. We want respect. You know, people say, I want to be loved. No, men want to be respected. We want to be heard. We want to know that people, when I say something, they're listening. They're listening to understand, and they get what it is I'm saying. So the Bible is chock full of things that talk about the need for respect. But probably the shotgun approach of all verses is 1 Peter 2:17. Says this. It says, show respect for everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Let me say that again. Show respect for everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. It says love, show love by respecting your Christian brothers and sisters. Every one of your brothers and sisters. Those you agree with and those you don't. Respect is one of those topics that we talk about, and it's a word we do hear quite a bit today, but we've never really given a thought about what respect really actually means. And I put it down, and there's a million definitions, and you can come up with five or six of your own. But I kind of did one for our purposes today, using the Bible and using what I've seen in the past. I say this about respect. Respect is showing value to others by our actions. It's showing respect to others by our actions, by the way we act, not just our words. Our words don't mean very much if they don't have actions behind them. We can say we love somebody, we can say we respect someone all day long, but often using the analogy that I said about our older folks and setting them on the shelf and not visiting them and not spending time and not listening to them, those are all things that need action. There's some action that has to come behind that. I think about this. Here's what I want to start this morning. I always like to do a question, but today I don't have a question. I just want to get you thinking. So if you're at home or you're in this room, here's what I want you to think about. Do people feel better or worse when they've been with you? Do people feel better or worse after you spend a minute with them? Think about that. If you're at home, think about that. What do you think people think about when they just have a chance meeting with you, or they meet you in the hall, or they meet you at the gas station, or they meet you at church, or you meet someone for coffee? What do you think they feel better or they feel worse when they've been around you? That's a good barometer of your awareness of your respect, because that's one way to know whether you're really a respectful person or not. Do they feel inspired? Do people around you feel valued? Do they know that when you spend a moment with them that you really want to be there in that moment? Or have you got somewhere else to get to? Or are you so busy that you just really, I got to love you, got to go. Which is love with no action. It has to see respect can it doesn't necessarily have to have all these hands and feet with it, but it definitely has to have some kind of action in the way that we show that love or that respect to the people that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Jesus was absolutely the best in showing honor and love to other people. I just love the way Jesus treated people. And I want to be like Jesus too. I want to be like him in the sense that I want people, when they're around me, they're going, I want to be back around him again sometime soon. I want to feel a little bit better because I spent a moment talking with them. And that's why I think we all need to value words and the time that we spend in this place and the time you spend wherever it is that you spend time with people. You need to reevaluate. That's what I'm challenging you to do this morning, is to reevaluate the way that you spend time with people. Even if it's just chat, even if it's just talk, it's so important. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I don't usually do this, but I want to read a long, long passage today because it's a story. My knee just buckled, sorry. It's a story that's very important. It's a story about Jesus, and it shows his compassion, and it shows his love for us and his love for others. Luke 7, verse 30, I think it's 36, and I'm going to read for a little bit, so hang with me. If you're at home, it's Luke 7, 36, starting at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet wiping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, because she is a sinner. That's all the Pharisee saw. Jesus answered, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will have more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the biggest debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. When he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Now, get those words. Do you see this woman? Because there's people in your life that you don't see. There's people in your life, and you and I, we just kind of gloss over. Do you see this woman? I came into her house, and you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them away with her hair. Whew. This sinner did that. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from that time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, and she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, how many sins have been forgiven? For she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. I love that. I love that story. I love that passage. It gets me in the heart. And it reminds me every day about this being respectful, what it means to be respectful. Jesus went into this house, a normal, regular dinner. The man in charge of the house didn't go through the regular, respectful things. And this woman who was a sinner, this woman who was a lady of the night, this woman who gave her body to other men for money, noticed Jesus, and Jesus noticed her. And Jesus was beginning to do some incredible things in this woman's life. He not only noticed, he made a difference. And at the end, the Bible says he looked at her and said, without even any words, There was no words. No words recorded. Your sins are forgiven. Woo-hoo. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. Because, see, I think a lot of us, we live in the Christian life. What we do is we try to be good. We try to get good. And there's nothing we can do that. It's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus. It can't be through our hands and feet. It comes through, his goodness comes through our hands and feet, but it only comes when he forgives us. And so today I want to talk about how, if I want to be like Jesus, what I've got to do is I've got to look at people through Jesus' eyes. I've got to look at people around me through Jesus' eyes, not my eyes, because my eyes are getting pretty cloudy. My eyes are like, I don't like anybody. My eyes are like, I'm just going to hole up here in a little hole, and I'm going to cover myself and just sit here in my hole, and I'm going to do my time, and Jesus, take me home. You know, that's where some of us are today. That's where we are. But that's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to see people through his eyes, and he wants you to see what's going on in their lives. Even the people that say the harshest, horrible things to you, or say the harshest, horrible things about something that you care deeply about. Those are the people that God has called us to see, and not only to be respectful about, but to be loving towards, loving with actions. So let's get into this. I want to send you home with four things today. Four things I want you to look for. Number one, I want you to look at listening more and talking less. Look for listening more and talking less. And I get it, we're not doing a lot of close-up talking to a lot of people this last year because we've been kind of conditioned to stay away from each other. But I'm telling you, as things begin to open back up, you're going to see people that have a need to talk. I cannot believe how people have so much to say and nobody to say it to. And so I want to tell you, if you want a mission field, you get this one right here. You start listening and don't do so much talking. And you will have inroads into people's lives that you've never had before because people have got things to say. Many of you are just like that. You want somebody to listen to you. You want somebody to listen and to not over-talk. You want somebody to listen and hear what you're really saying. But many, many times, we just, when we're talking, we come back with our stuff and our brand of, you know, I can top that, or our brand of, let me tell you about my sucky life. Let me tell you about the things in my life. And we just trump over and over again them. Not trump the man. There's a word trump, okay? Trump. We jump over them and we take things and we minimize them. Jesus didn't minimize the things that were going on in people's lives. He maximized them. What do I mean about being a wonderful listener? If Jesus was such a listener, as you look at this story, I already said there was no words, but Jesus heard volumes. He heard volumes. And in fact, he comes in and he reads this room, and this Pharisee who had missed everything, had missed all the proper cues to be respectful, missed it all. But here this person that he just called a sinner, this would have been a prophet. He would have known who was touching his feet. He would have known who was kissing his feet if he was really who he says he was. And here he missed all the things that were going on right in front of him. Does that remind you of you and me sometimes? We maximize in the little things and we miss the really big things. And the big things is so hard to miss. But what we've done is we've made a business out of forgetting all the things that are proper, the respectful things of being a Christian. She was speaking loudly. This lady was speaking loudly, what, through her tears? She was speaking loudly to Christ by washing his feet and kissing his feet. She had a message, and Jesus, it seems, was the only one who heard it. He was the only one in the room that was listening to her. A whole room full of people. So the question I ask you on my first look today is this. Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? I'm not always a good listener. Now, I appear to be sometimes, but sometimes I like to listen, to talk back, and then to say things to these people because then I have to have something to come back. But what I've noticed in the last 10 years of my life, what I've noticed is if you allow people to talk, they will keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. And you say, I don't have time for that. Why not? Why not? Because that's part of respect is listening to understand, not to talk back, not to give advice. Most of us don't want advice. Isn't that true? You want to run it by them, and you want validated, and you want them to say, oh, I'm so sorry, and you want there to be good things said back to you. But for the most part, you just want to be heard. Just listen to me. Just listen. Are you a good listener? Some of you just need to stop talking and start listening, including me. Look at listening, not talking less. Another look to look at. Look at doing what you say you're going to do. And I want to talk to parents for a second. I don't know if there's any parents in here, but if you say you're going to do something, do it. Do it. Do what you say you're going to do. Would people around you say that you off honor your promises? When you say you're going to do something, do you do it? Last Friday, was it last Friday? Yeah, not this last Friday, but the Friday before that, my grandsons came up, and we had that big snow, and there was a big snow pile in my driveway that I had shoveled there. And I told him right when he got there, I carried him out there. It was late at night, and I carried him out there, and I sat there, and I said, tomorrow we're going to build a fort in there. And you know what? The whole time he was there, is now the time? Is now the time? Is now the time? Is now the time? And finally, I was like, okay, I get it. We got to get the fort. All right, we got to get the fort. And we do that a lot with people. And we say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I promise we're going to. Follow through on what you say you're going to do. Look at what you do and do it. Let your yes be yes, Jesus said, and your no be no. See, people, the Psalms, Proverbs says this, 25:14. People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. See, that doesn't mean much to us today, but if you were a farmer back in the old days and you promised something and it didn't happen, if the rain didn't come, you were a farmer, you were waiting on God to send what it was he was going to send. You were waiting on him, and you knew that God was going to send this thing so you could have your crops. It's so important to do what you say you're going to do. Follow through. Could Jesus have been any clearer when he said in Matthew 5:37, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be very, very careful. You don't have to go into an explanation. You don't have to why you can't. Just yes, I can, or no, I can't. Don't. If you promise, yes, I can. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Keep your word. Here's a couple practical things with that. Give more than you get. Give respect, and when you give respect, you get respect. Respect yourself. Know who you are. Know whose you are. You are a child of the King. Never, ever forget that, and remind yourself of that daily about 1,000 times. Know who you are. Maintain your integrity. It's the cornerstone of your earned respect. What I mean by maintain, no little white lies. Don't tell any form of lie. No colored lies. No lie of any color. You know, integrity is all you got. Your word is all you have. That's it. Yes or no? Keep your promises. You don't respect somebody when you say, I'm going to do something and you don't do it. I'm going to show up and you don't. I'm going to be a part of that, and you don't. That's not respect. That's your yes be yes, and your no be no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. That's it. Jesus keeps his word. The Bible says he every promise that he ever made, he did. That's why I love looking at the Old Testament, because you look at the Old Testament, that wasn't even Jesus' words, but it was God's word that says this is coming, and it did. Every promise was fulfilled that he said he was going to do, except the one about he's coming back to get us. He's coming back to get us. That one hasn't been fulfilled yet. Jesus fulfills his promises. Do you? Another look that's important today. Look at serving them by giving up your right. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to flesh this out a little bit. How do we give up our right? How do we give up our right in a relationship, in any relationship that's around us? What you do is you find ways to serve others. You find ways to do something for them that really, really count. And how do you do that? You listen. You listen. You know, it's nice to buy things, and it's nice to purchase things, and it's nice to be a part. But what's really, really important is that they have actions that go along with them, serving them. See, this story in Luke 7 about this woman is so tender. It's a picture of her service to the Lord. And without a word, without a mention of the value of her deed, without thinking about expense, she was ready to do what she did. She served God's son just like that. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says, "So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well." Let me read that one more time. 2 Corinthians 12:15. "So I will gladly spend for you everything I have and I will expend myself as well." Whew. Service isn't scorekeeping. Service is not keeping a score. It's not keeping a record. Our culture says, "I'll do for you, now you owe me." And that's kind of the way we do our lives. We kind of barter with people. And God never intended for us just to barter our way through life. He intended for us to serve our way through life, to give up our right for someone else. And if you look around, there's lots of things that you could do for people. It's important that we look around and we listen. And as we look around, we say, "God, is this what you want me to do?" Because if it's not what God wants you to do, you're going to find yourself oftentimes getting slapped in the face. And when you do look around and you pray and think that's what God wants you to do, you're also going to get slapped in the face. It happens no matter whether you do or whether you don't. So don't do it because you're going to get slapped in the face. You do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to serve others with not getting anything in respect. When we do our best for others, it shows it this, that we're wanting to serve and that they matter to me, that you matter to me. That's what we're trying to convey here. We could go out all day and knock on doors and ask people to come to church, and people don't care about that. That doesn't work anymore, knocking on doors. But what might work better is the church respecting each other to the level that we come alongside them and we serve other people. Not getting anything in return, just serving. God doesn't expect perfection. And that's what I want you to know today. God never expects you, as you serve other people, for it to be a perfect thing. God just expects you to take your little and he'll make it a lot. He expects you to put yourself out there and he'll expand the horizons. He'll make it much, much larger than anything you ever thought. It's important that we look at serving others by giving up our rights. By giving up our rights. And lastly, the last look. I want to be like Jesus. The last look is this. Slow down and really see people. Really see people. Because when you slow down and you take your time, what happens is you begin very, very quickly to see that there is a need. Take a moment to see who God sees. Take a moment to see the fracture in other people's lives. You could sit down with the people in this room today, and I bet you there is 1,000 fractures. There are 1,000 things that people are sad about. There is 1,000 things that people in this room are broken up about. That you're broken up with so many different things, and you're hurting. And yes, God wants you to cast those cares on Him, but He also wants you to be that representative for Him in the flesh, to be able to listen to people who are broken and hurting. And yes, people in the church are broken and hurting. And it's time we not only understand that, it's time that we begin to stand in a gap for each other in those places. Look what the Bible says in Romans 12:16. Romans 12:16. Get along with each other. I love the Message version of this phrase. You won't get this unless you get the Message. But listen to what this says. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't be the great somebody. You know, all of us from time to time think that we're the great somebody compared to somebody else. There's always somebody else that we're, you know, a little bit better than. You play it off in your head. Well, I'm not them. Boy, whew, glad it's not me. I'm glad I'm not them, you know. See, that's what it means to be the great somebody. We want to stop that. We want an equal playing field. Jesus sees us all as the same people that are broken, shattered messes. And He loves us anyway. And He respects us anyway. And He allows us to serve Him by giving Him our gifts and our tithes and our tears and our hair on people's feet to wash their feet. How humbling is that? How humbling is that? To take a little that we have and do something kind of demeaning to serve others. There was a guy in the Bible who was really flaky. And he was undependable. And people around him would say that very easy. His name was Simon, which actually meant flighty. When you look it up, Simon means flighty. Means that one day he's over here and next day he's over here. There was no solid thing about Simon. But Jesus came into his life. And Jesus said to him, He says, I'm going to change your name. Why did Simon need a name change? Because his very name meant that he was flighty. And he walked into his life and he said, you're not flighty anymore. You know who you are? The complete opposite. You're the rock. You're Petra. You're Peter. I love that about who I am today, because I'm a lot like Simon most days. I'm pretty flighty. I can be convinced really simple that I'm not much of a guy. And I think you are the same way. I think there's many days that it doesn't take anything for you can get 1,000 you're greats and for somebody to say, one, you are really stupid. And all of a sudden, it's just like, Jesus came into Simon's life and he said, Simon, I don't see you as that anymore. And that's our job. That's our job, to take flakes and to show them that they're not a flake, that they're rocks, that they're solid, that they're going to be there, and that they got some plan and purpose in their life. That's our job. I want to be like Jesus. I want to give people a different plan and purpose for their life. And I believe the gospel does that. I believe the gospel lived out does that, because when I know that God is my, that I'm His kid, and that He made me for a plan and a purpose. He didn't just plop me down here to be 80 years of miserable, like some of us think. Then I understand my calling, and I start living my calling, and I start seeing people for who Jesus sees these people. Everybody in this story that we read about this morning saw this woman. They saw her as an interruption. They saw her as somebody that shouldn't even be there. They saw her and said, what is she doing in this holy room? But Jesus saw her as a worshiper. Jesus saw her as a daughter of the kingdom . Who are the stutterers in your life? Who are the stinky people in your life that you've kind of put to the side? That I refuse to listen to them anymore because I'm too busy. I need to get to somebody else. Somebody else needs my attention. See, Jesus came. He came for the sick. He came for the broken. He didn't come for the ones that seem to have it all together, because nobody has it all together. But it's really easy for us to understand it like that and go, you know, I'm a lot, and none of us want to admit this, I'm a little more important than you, and I got other things to do. My house needs to be remodeled, and I got my guns to shoot, and I got my vacations to go. All those things are good things, but not at the expense. Bypassing people, because that's why God has you here. That's why you're still got breath. There's people that God wants you to interact with, to listen to really respect, and to move closer to them, to show them who Jesus really is, because that's the only thing that makes a difference. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In my own family, I have a situation where there's... Make sure I shouldn't see this. Okay, there's a person in my family, extended family, and they go to the Catholic Church. Nothing wrong with the Catholic Church, I'm just saying. And another person in my family is always trying to demean them, and they come in and they're always saying, this is why they're bad, and this is why we're good. And that doesn't work. That approach doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work to demonize another faith or another brand of something that's out there. All that works is coming alongside and saying, here's who Jesus is in my life, and then having action to your listening and really listening and really caring and really moving forward. Even if it's just one person, do you understand that's one more person that's going to be in heaven because of you? And I want you to think about this today. While Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't just thinking about you. He was thinking about that worst person that you can think of this morning. He was thinking about that person. And he did what he did for that person. Yeah, he did it for you too. He did it for all of us. But the worst person you can think of, the person that is just hard for you to even listen to, Jesus came for that person too. And when we get that in our thinking, I want to be like Jesus. Yeah, that's a broad, wonderful topic to say. But then there becomes feet to that action. Then there becomes some real movement in our spirits and in our hearts towards Jesus. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, we thank you for this message. What a message for that woman to hear. What a message for me to hear. What a message for the folks listening here today, God. The message that you love us, that you listen to us, that you not only show us the model of respect, but God, that you want us to do that in other people's lives, to give them what they don't always deserve. So God, let us take the time, take our hearts, take our little hearts, and just continue that remodel that you're doing on all of us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to our ministry time, if you're at home or you're here in the audience today, I encourage you to reach out to us and let us know. Let us know how you and God are doing, how you're doing with his people. Are you really respecting others, or are you just kind of going through the motions? God calls you and me today to a greater responsibility. Now it's time to go out and be God's action. this community. God bless you. Let's see what God does during our ministry time.